Welcome back to the Galveston Experience Podcast. We are up to episode 103. And this time through, we're going to get the scuttlebutt on the United Way of Galveston and how they're dealing with these kind of challenging times. Well, the madness is over. We're kind of in the better time of the year if you're looking to be a tourist coming down the island and want a little more elbow room. Had a pretty good weekend over the Labor Day weekend, and our weather is pretty nice. Although, if you listen to RadioGalveston.com, the producer of the Galveston Experience Podcast, you'll hear Hurricane Hal has been keeping busy. We've got six or seven different storms active. Only one might have some kind of a threat anywhere near Galveston. And of course, we monitor that very carefully at RadioGalveston.com. So before we get to the scuttlebutt on the United Way, let's check in, see what's happening the weekend of September 11th. Of course, the big news, this was the 120th anniversary of the great 1900 storm on September 8th. And a matter of fact, September 10th is right in the middle of hurricane season. And Dr. Hal Needham, Hurricane Hal, has put together a really, really, really good hurricane tour. And we launched that this week from the Galveston Experience Company. So if you're into the history and the technology and the engineering and all the resiliency that it took to raise the island, raise the 2,000 plus buildings, raise the churches and everything else, it's really a fascinating history of Galveston. So do check that out. So that goes on every day at noon from the Galveston Experience Company. And if you want to do a group tour, just get eight or more people together and you can kind of pick your own time for the hurricane, the historic, or the ghost bus tours from the Galveston Experience Company. If you're into the history, the Moody Mansion all-access guided tour is happening, and you'll find all the details on our island events page at RadioGalveston.com. Plenty of music around this weekend around the island, and we've got all the music events up on the island events page as well. Bucket Brigade is happening Saturday and Sunday again at Stewart Beach near the Convention Center and down at Pirates Beach. The Basement to Attic Tour also at Bishop's Palace on Saturday. Those sell out pretty quickly, so you might want to make your reservation in advance. It's also Family Day on Saturday at the Ocean Star Drilling Museum, and that means anybody 18 or under is free when accompanied by an adult. Or you might want to jump in a kayak, check out some of the artist boat kayak adventures happening this weekend. Again, just check the island events page at RadioGalveston.com. And Mike Dudas has been busy doing interviews. Interesting to see the impact that the COVID has had on our nonprofits. So let's check in with Mike and get the scuttlebutt on the United Way.
I am Mike Dudas, and on this edition of the podcast, my guest is my very good friend, Lindsay White, who'll give us all the scuttlebutt on the United Way of Galveston. Good morning, Lindsay.
Good morning, Mike. It's so great to be back in the virtual studio with you. This was so fun when we used to get to do it, and it's great to be able to do it again in this new world that we're all living in. So thank you.
So since the pandemic, I know United Way of Galveston has continued to do all the great work that you've always done, but I know you're partnered agencies that probably have needed a lot of extra assistance and TLC. So tell us what life's been like at the United Way of Galveston lately.
So yes, our operations pivoted a little bit in March. We had to cancel our donor appreciation event, which your team is always a huge part of, and some other students at Ball High. So we were very disappointed about that, but we did it in the interest of safety. And other than that, and a shift to a mostly virtual operation for the first couple of months of stay-at-home orders, we've continued to do the work that we always do. We made sure that our board was able to allocate funds from the Workplace Giving campaign last year to give to our partner agencies who need it more than ever. One of the big changes that we made is that we usually fund programs for agencies, but this spring, knowing that in February, when our partner agencies filled out an application, the world looked very different when we were making those decisions for them on April 7th. So we unrestricted the funds that we gave to our partner agencies so they could use it however they needed it. And the agencies experienced a couple of impacts. First and foremost, almost all of them faced an increased demand. So as people that work in the hospitality industry, for example, rely on their hourly wages and couldn't work for several months, the food bank saw a spike in need immediately. And the same for students who weren't able to receive breakfast and lunch on their normal school day. And the food bank is just one example, but Catholic Charities is another. They provide provide emergency rent and utility assistance, and those were also important needs that people were facing as they weren't able to earn their wages at their job. So we, in addition to unrestricting funds and the grants that we make to agencies, we also have a disaster reserve that our board built up a while back. So we released an extra $150,000 out to our agencies also in April, so April 7th, so that they could continue to meet the demands that they were seeing. And the other impact that our agencies saw is they had to cancel their fundraisers. So many nonprofit charities have fundraisers in either March or April. Some of them do it on the other side of the year in October, but as you know, no events could be held in March or April. So while agencies were seeing an increased demand, they weren't able to raise funds that they need to meet those demands. So that's where we come in. And we also, United Way of Galveston serves as a fiscal agent for the Galveston County Recovery Fund, which is a partnership between the generous philanthropic community in Galveston, also known as the Foundation, and the United Way. And so we reactivated the recovery fund on March 23rd. The first time it was activated, just for historical background, was after Hurricane Ike, because the foundations wanted to invest in grants that were strategic versus transactional. So the recovery fund was formed after Hurricane Ike. It reactivated after Hurricane Harvey, and we reactivated again into COVID response. And between basically April 1st and August, the end of August, we were able to invest almost $750,000 back into Galveston with the funds that we had raised from United Way and the foundations, and also from individual and family donors. And those funds were much needed, as you can imagine, for the reasons that I have already shared. So that's what we've been doing. We've been doing our regular job, and we've been also partnering with the Galveston County Recovery Fund.
So, wow, $750,000. I can only imagine how much that's helped out your partner agencies. How would you compare the demand right now as compared back to, like, the Hurricane Harvey days?
So there's not enough money in the world to fix what people are dealing with right now. And I think the big difference is when a natural disaster like a hurricane or a wildfire happens, It's in a geographic location, right? So outside funding is often sent in to the United Way specifically. Like after Hurricane Harvey, we got a huge donation from some company in New York that we've never had a relationship for. But you know, generally, people that want to support recovery efforts know that the United Way is a trusted partner. And the difference here is that this pandemic was global. So if people in Galveston were affected, people in New York were affected. People in other countries across many oceans were also affected. So there's just not enough funding to support the needs that people are seeing with, you know, not being able to work and not being able to get their kids into childcare so that they can go to work. There are many issues that are making life difficult for people today and hindering their ability to thrive. So I think that's the big difference, is that it's not isolated. This has not been isolated to a geographic area. It is affecting everyone, no matter where you live.
Universally, what is the main thing that you're hearing from all your partnered agencies, like their number one biggest need right now?
Their top need is always funding, because that's what drives the work that they're experts at doing. So whenever there's plentiful funding for them, or at least adequate funding, they're able to keep doing the work that the community relies on, because I think people, this might be an assumption and it might be wrong, so I'll just put my own humble opinion tag on what I'm about to say, but I see people think of charities a lot at Thanksgiving and Christmas, as the holiday seasons are coming around and people are reflecting on, like, you know, those that are not as fortunate as them. I don't know if people realize how quickly charities are, like, front and center in demand when disaster happens. Like, they're the ones that are making sure there's food out there after a hurricane. Like, you see the Salvation Army canteen rolling around town, and that's where you get your ice or your lunch while you're putting your house back together. Or Team Health, who, you know, for many months, people couldn't really get an appointment at their doctor's office, but at Team Health, they stayed open so that kids that have a sore throat or need a vaccination can come in and access those services in a very safe way. But I don't know if it's really front of mind for people that when disaster strikes, like the nonprofit community is, you have first responders and you have the nonprofit community. There's the charities that are there directly interfacing with people need support all the time. So financially supporting those agencies is definitely the best way to impact them. I know that there are a handful that can really use regular volunteers. So that would be a secondary need. And then I think donations of PPE equipment is also appreciated at any of our nonprofit partners. But that's the way I would rank it. I would say funding, volunteers, and donated supplies.
And it looks like a lot of, or if not all, nonprofits are trying to be a little more creative right now about their fundraising because they cannot right now do the face-to-face galas and auctions and stuff. So have you noticed, are they doing a lot of virtual fundraising?
Yeah, we're all having to pivot into uncharted territory. And I know that Resource and Crisis Center had a digital event, I think it was 2 weekends ago, and I think they were one of the first to do that in our area. And then I'm attending this weekend Okrafest, which is a fundraiser for Galveston Zone Farmers Market and the many programs that they support. So I think we're all attempting to make things work in the environment that we have and also learning from each other on how, you know, peer-to-peer learning on what's working and what's not working. And we're doing the same at United Way of Galveston. We generally, in the first week of September, have 350 of our closest friends come together for lunch, which you know because you've been there for the last 3 years, at Moody Gardens. And we can't do that. That event is to kick off our annual workplace giving campaign, which is how we raise funds for our partner agencies. And we can't do that. It's not safe for us to have that large of a gathering right now. So we have come up with something different to try, and I'll tease it, but I won't totally reveal it because it's going to be on Facebook Live for anybody that would like to attend. It's October the 1st from 12 p.m. to 1, because like I said, we normally have a lunch gathering and like to make it as easy as possible for people to attend. So if they're at their desk, maybe they can log on, or if they're not able to watch, it'll still be on Facebook after that for people to enjoy. And if you don't have Facebook, that's okay too. We'll also post it on YouTube, but it won't be live. So we're all, I say we, and from our sector, we're all navigating this kind of experiment together because we haven't done it before, but we're willing to try because we're not willing to just give up on our operations, and we need to raise funds in order to do that.
And I guess, as always, you're gearing up for the employee giving campaigns?
United Way's generally, like back when we were formed, the first one was formed in Denver and 1876 or something like that, when two nuns, a rabbi and a priest, walked into, not a bar, but they walked into a community center and said, let's work together on how we can tackle community issues. And so United Ways were formed to generally pool community resources and then divert them and deploy them where they're needed most. So, and that's still what we do. That's at the heart of what we do, but it's not all we do. So in usually September through December, we visit our corporate partners. So we have two kinds of partners. We have our partner agencies, which are charities, and then we have our corporate partners, and GISC is one of those great corporate partners. It's also like Moody Bay, Hometown Bank, American National. These are the businesses that have employees who support the United Way. So every fall, we make the rounds and visit each of those corporate partners and ask people to make their pledge for the following year. So people can sign up to give through a payroll deduction, which is, let's say I wanted to give, and I do, I give $50 for each of my pay periods to the United Way General Fund. And then I don't have to think about it. I don't have to write multiple checks or save, and I can make a bigger impact by stretching out that gift over the course of a year. So that's what we call the workplace giving campaign. Basically, we come in, we do a presentation, we bring a form, and then people like you that work at GISC can sign up to give that way. And then it's handed over to the payroll office, and then you don't have to think about it again. And so people can elect to give to the United Way General Fund, which I'll talk more about in a second, or they can elect to give to a specific agency, any nonprofit that has 501c3 status, whether they're a United Way partner or not, can receive what we call a designation. So let's say, Mike, you want to give directly to the Seafarers Center, you can write in Seafarers Center or food bank or whatever charity is your, you know, speaks to you the most or is you're most passionate about. And then we handle making sure that those funds get there. And one thing that I'm really proud to say is that there is no administrative fee related to those gifts. So if you pledge $5 from each pay period, $5 fully from each pay period goes on to the general fund or to whatever nonprofit charity that you choose. So we're really proud that we're able to do that. My staff is very small at United Way of Galveston, so I'm the executive director. I have one team member. She's fantastic. Her name's Jennifer Jameson, and she's our finance director. And so because we're small, we're able to keep our overhead costs really low, and we're able to be very nimble. So when things need to change, we can pivot quickly. We're ramping up for workplace giving that normally happens in the fall. Obviously, we cannot go to the bank lobbies and do presentations. So we're hoping to use this virtual event that's coming on October 1st as a leaping off point for each of our corporate partners. And then we'll work with them in whatever way is best to adapt to the current circumstances that we're all facing. But safety is first and foremost part of mind for us, in addition to championing the work that Galveston charities are doing to help people in Galveston.
And if any of our listeners would like further information about the United Way of Galveston, please give us all the contact information.
Absolutely. So please visit our website. That's www.uwgalv.org. So it's short for United Way Galveston. Uwgalv with a B.org is our website. And our phone number is on there, but I'll share that as well. It's 409-762-HELP, because that's what we do. And then if you or somebody that you know are needing support right now or any other time in the future, also save that number and call us. We have a very tight network of nonprofit providers in Galveston and a pretty good understanding of who's doing what and how to reach them. So if you know somebody who needs help or you need help, call us and we can connect you to the right providers. So we like to say we're the number to call when you don't know who to call. So that's 409-762-HELP. And then you can also email me. I'm very accessible. My email address is ly@uwgalv.org. If you have questions about what we're doing or how you can get involved, if you want to support, or like I said, if you need help, please call us. That's exactly what we're here for.
My guest on this edition of the podcast has been Lindsay White, Executive Director of the United Way of Galveston. If you would like to be a future guest on the podcast in order to give us all the scuttlebutt on your business or organization, drop us a line here at radiogalveston.com.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you, Lindsay, for taking the time to keep us updated with what's happening at the United Way. Of course, we have a big soft spot for nonprofits at the Galveston Experience Company. We started a nonprofit 10 years ago up in Houston to teach disabled kids how to ice skate and also provide military veterans, amputees, and the like who can't play stand-up hockey to play sit-down hockey in a sled. It's called starskaters.org, so if you know somebody who could benefit from that, do check that out at starskaters.org. And if you've got an organization that needs some support for fundraisers, if you've got events going on, we have got a spot for that. We've got a calendar page that's shared between that galveston.vip digital island guide, radiogalveston.com, and the Galveston Experience Company. They've all got events calendars, and so we put it on one. It's shared among all the others. So if you've got something going on, be sure you let us know, and we'll make sure that gets put on the calendars, and maybe we'll even have you as a guest here on the next edition of The Scuttlebutt with Mike Dudas. And by the way, Mike has done, I think that this is 10 different episodes of The Scuttlebutt that he's done, and you can find links to all the previous episodes. Some interesting stuff. It's on the Scuttlebutt page at radiogalveston.com. So again, thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this, make sure you bookmark it and you'll get notified the next time we launch another one of the Galveston Experience podcasts. So hopefully we'll see you on one of those cool new hurricane tours or just enjoying the extra room we've got now that the craziness of the season is over. So we've got cooler weather coming up, a little more room on the beaches, and it's a great time to be on the island. And we hope we have a chance to see you at our spot on the seawall. We are at 1522 Seawall, right next to the Saltgrass Steakhouse. And if you're into Sugar Skulls, come on and check out. We've got some new Sugar Skull items at the Seawall Sugar Skull Shop. say that 10 times fast, located inside the Galveston Experience. So hopefully we'll see you there. If nothing else, we'll be looking for you right here next time at the Galveston Experience Podcast.